the people expressing them, and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Yo, what's up, Twin Cities? Welcome back. Another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI. What you doing over there, Elba?
You know, things happen.
Welcome, Twin Cities. We are live and direct up in this hot studio. Whew. Somebody give me a fan.
There you go.
One of these KFAI powered fans. Oh.
I had to adjust the mic.
Did you hear that? You can hear the.
I can. That's why.
Well, welcome, Twin Cities. We're having a good time up in here already. Welcoming one of my homeboys is in the building. Brought his daughter, Omar Adams. What's up, O? How you doing, brother? Let's do the mic check. You there?
I'm great. Okay. I'm great. I appreciate the Run DMC.
All right, Run DMC.
I thought you were going to play I Talk Too Much.
Is that one of the jams?
Oh, yeah.
You talk too much.
Yep, and you never shut up.
Never shut up. Nah, I mean,
my
maybe
Adidas.
I wore my Adidas. I had that one on the track list, so I'll find it. But welcome, Omar. And you brought with us...
Kalea.
Your number one fan...
I hope so.
Number one fan, Kalea.
Yep.
Kalea. Say hello on the mic, Kalea.
Hi.
All right. Kalea joined us. That's Omar's daughter. Omar is an educator. I like to call him the dean. That's going to be my new name for you.
Okay.
The dean. Executive director, mastermind, educator, my man, 50 grand, Omar Adams, is here to talk about an endeavor that he is embarking on that has to do with education and focusing on the youngest generation, preschool youngins, and how to kind of bring them up from different communities, marginalized communities, and making sure that they have the fundamentals in place as they prepare for their educational journey.
You've said everything.
Did I?
I don't need to say a thing.
Well, oh, man,
I know you've got many things. I was just summarizing, my bruh over here. That we've been talking about getting together for a minute, but in a nutshell, after our conversation, that is what I pulled away. And we'd love to talk about what you're doing at my old stomping grounds over at this past Sabathany Community Center.
Right. So I've opened Wonder Fun Academy, named after my late father. Lost him about 7 years ago. So his name was Willie Frank Adams, so that's how I got Wonder Fun Academy. And we are a center where we're preparing all students to be academically, emotionally, and socially confident for kindergarten. About 90% of your brain development happens before age 5. So it's critical. If you don't send them to my center, send them somewhere. Make sure they're getting some formal education to develop their brain.
What a beautiful mission. And Omar, you spent, I felt, it's crazy, dude, because there's this, it's like I'm
computer
talking to you, but it's
right,
kind of like you on Zoom because I can't see you. So here, I'm going to turn this. That way, I'll turn that back. Thank you for the shout out, Pete Lee. Pete Lee, the crew that was doing it before we came on, has been doing it for 30 years. So shout out to Pete Lee and the Bob Street crew. Thank y'all for what y'all do. But you spent many years in a traditional setting, K-12
right,
educational setting. And what inspired you to kind of take a turn, go off road, so to speak, and focus in on you know, these group of students that sometimes get left behind or lost in the mix?
A lot of things inspired me. I mean, I'm the fourth generation of teachers, so growing up, I sat at the dinner table. My mom was told story after story after story, and talked. One story that sticks in my mind is when a student comes in speaking 500 words. Other students come in speaking 2,000 or 2,500. They're already in a deficit. So that's one of the pieces, the academic piece of Wonder Fun Academy, working on their communication, right? If they have the language, building that language. If they don't, you know, I'll provide it for them. So I want to make sure that students, it's not only the achievement gap, but an opportunity gap. Some of our families don't have access to good daycare or good child care. We don't take care of days, we take care of children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're making sure that students have an academically rigorous program. We're not putting them in front of iPads to have the iPad teach them or any other kind of screen. I think since August I've shown maybe 10 minutes of some video, some things around the Olympics, and then talking about Ronald McNair, there's a real good video on him who was passed in the space shuttle explosion.
Okay.
So you said something important about the number of words. Now, meaning how they can verbally communicate yet, or how confident they might be in verbally communicating. Not so much like 500 words, they're shy. We're not in to force them to speak. It's 500 words, possibly, and this is just using your mom's quote, an indicator of maybe they haven't had as much dialogue or word practice.
Correct.
Okay.
And so one thing that people are kind of confused about is, you know, there's kids play a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're sitting down at a desk, paper pencil work, and that like a K-12 school, right? So during play, we have to have conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to navigate, how do I share this? How do I share that? How do I ask for this from you? One thing a student says that I kind of get a kick out of, he'll say, you know, can I use that when you're done? Right?
Mm.
And then there's a lot of those mirror neurons where you're copying what you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so students will do a lot of that. I have students that are acquiring English. And so it's a matter of trying to have that dialogue as much as we can during lunch, during breakfast, having that conversation. So it's not about shyness, but it's a limit of 500 words.
Ah.
Right? And you know, then a lot of those things the teacher's saying, the kids aren't going to follow along.
Okay.
So when you think about developing that vocabulary, right, to your point, so you have 500 words and your goal, what's the goal? Like, what's the average increase of words to expand that vocabulary? So you're using different words to create sentences and phrases and paragraphs, whatever. I'm assuming this is the goal. So what's the normal acceleration rate from, let's say, you got preschool kids, so from 4 to 5. What would be the goal? What would be the number? Anyway. You got where I'm going. I'm just trying to dig in a little deeper on kind of where you're going and what the objective is, which you've clearly articulated thus far.
Objective. So one, I was an accountant in my old life, right? But I don't have those exact numbers. But what I will say is I don't have students pointing. You know, students will point instead of using their words. So then it's giving them those words, having them wrestle through things. Sometimes I'm difficult for difficult sake, just to have a student, you watch those wheels turning in their head, you know, that brain pathways are being developed when they're trying to figure out how do you say something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of doing that, having conversation. A student said to me today, do you want a meat sandwich? I said, well, what kind of meat? Right? And so another thing, we have a kindness jar. And the students were saying, put in these big puff balls versus the little puff balls. Because once they fill it up, we have a bubble party, right? So we're going to get the bubble machine going and have some fun, right? And they were, you know, again, thinking, why do we have the big puff balls versus the little puff balls, right? So it's just a matter of continually asking questions, provoking their thought, letting them be creative. A student made an upside-down T-rocket with blocks. And he made the rocket. Another student said, you made a T-rocket, right? So it's a matter of just pushing them to build that language. And if they don't have it, you know, like at lunch or breakfast, may I have more milk, please, is what I'm doing. And for some of our students, I have a couple of students acquiring English, and so they don't have those words. And so then I provide those words. And it was kind of exciting when the mom first heard her child use English in that way. It was exciting. So it's just a matter of pushing them from where they are and pushing them in a fun way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you talk or you're in trouble. No, we just will help them build their language. And then two, a lot of it's through reading. When they hear the words, they build their oral vocabulary. And so as we're reading those stories, we'll stop and talk about certain words the kids don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that like? A lot of questions come to mind. What first for your daughter, what's it like having a dad that's an educator? Is that do you find that interesting because you're talking about school when you're done with school? Maybe you don't want to talk about it, but your dad, he's a teacher. So he always, every opportunity that a dad has is an opportunity to teach. So what's that like? And now I'm hearing your grandparents were also educators. So what does that feel like to be a part of an academic family?
I like it because...
Keep going.
Oh, because... Like, I'm always learning things from him, and he gives good advice.
Okay.
And sometimes when he teaches me those things, I mean, I don't want to learn all the time, but I still learn from him. So thank you for that.
Wow. That's
I guess I owe her some money.
Yes.
I just knew she was going to say how I always ask questions. Dad, stop asking me questions. You're asking me too many questions. I don't want to think right now. The other day she told me it's summer. I don't have to think, but I appreciate that. I appreciate you not putting me on blast.
Clearly... She has been paying attention and hasn't been, you know, it's kind of the pro and con. I talked to my daughter when she was young a lot, and having those open conversations was very helpful to having an adult relationship with her because we had that foundation of communication. So your dad, he got some things to share, and that's why he's ventured into academia. And again, coming at it from a different angle. And so your campus, which you're trying to fully realize, you don't have the number of students that you're hoping for at this point, but you just started out and you're on the grind. Not a charter school, but another type of academic environment. It's a preschool facility. So, you know, Montessori comes to mind, or other immersion programs that are out there, language immersion and other early ed development types of programming. But your mission is a little different, and I know you expanded on a little bit in terms of, you know, the students that you're targeting. If you want to expand more on that, and or you know, kind of what your mission is with your campus.
Wow, that was a lot.
Okay,
in that
my
question.
Bad. Okay,
so,
I'll
think I can. Let me just start with the students.
That's usually my job. So thank you.
What? Okay.
Synthesizing what he just said.
So you'll translate for me.
Uh huh.
You know,
but go ahead. You got this.
I don't have to use my cell phone to translate. But I'm looking for students that want to learn. Right. We're not going to have any screens, like I said earlier, and so there might be an adjustment period. Mm-hmm. But I want kids. Kids are kids, right? And they generally adapt to the environment that they're in. And it's, there's sometimes a learning curve, right? That they come into school, you have to sit sometimes when you want to do something else. There's a number of toys in the space, a number of things that they can do. And sometimes, there are kids in a candy store. Ooh, let me touch this. Let me go do this. Let me go do that. And so that's the kids I'm looking for, right? I think about that, again, like I said, the opportunity gap and the achievement gap. We have one of the largest achievement gaps, if not the largest in the country, right? So by virtue of the color of your skin, you will be performing lower than someone else of a different race.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for families that want a high-quality program and want their kids to be in school every day, because that's another thing. They have to be there every day to learn,
mm-hmm.
right? And the program I have, basically, I put it together, right? So we use creative curriculum, using some of the skills I learned, letters training I have, kind of the gold standard of literacy, and my 25 years of experience. I've had a number of roles as an assistant principal, observed a lot of classrooms, a lot of teaching. As a racial equity coach, observed a lot of classrooms and a lot of teaching. So, I have a wide range or bag of tricks to kind of pull from when students are having problems. And, one thing I want to just say real quick is August 8th and August 15th, we'll have an open house.
Okay.
So 12 to 3. Right at Sabathany Community Center. We're in the lower level. Once you check in with our security guard, because, we have a security guard to make sure our students are safe. I think the security guard is kind of really relaxing because we just don't have a lot of issues, but we have a security guard just in case, mm-hmm. right? If you try and get security after the fact, it's too late, right? So check in with him. Come downstairs. You can have some interactive activities. We'll have face painting. I have a little snack for the children. And if you want to sign up that day, we have a goodie bag for you.
Hmm. So they do the open house. And are you having like a academic year?
Yeah. So people
enrolling?
Say during the summer, do you stop learning?
Okay.
No.
No. It's just always.
Yes. Yeah. So where it's 365, if you will. A lot of times parents are looking the same time their older children go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it kind of is, the open house is now, but it's still a matter of having people come in to just see the space.
Yeah. What are the hours that they're typically there?
So students are there my hours of the business are 7 to 5:30.
Okay.
Now, we don't really recommend students stay that long. It just makes for a very long day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if you have to, you have to, but most students are there about 9 hours.
Okay.
So 7 to about 4, or 7:30 to about 4:30. Some of them, a little less or a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Say, before we go to this music break, can you share your website or contact information for your campus, your school, for the listeners?
So my website is Wonder Fun Academy, just like it sounds, no different spelling or creative spelling, wonderfunacademy.com. My number is 763-200-6228. Again, 763-200-6228. That phone comes to me. Call me. Set up a tour. I'd love to see you.
All right. Thank you for that. Oh, we're going to take a quick music break. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI, Fresh Air Community Radio. We'll be right back, y'all.
My friend, not a trend, but van. They said, rap. Maxing is in.
Hard maxing.
Soft maxing.
At KFAI, we've been maxing handcrafted radio since 1978.
Looks maxing.
Cooks maxing.
KFAI is the OG of community radio maxing.
Smell maxing.
Yell maxing.
KFAI is the handcrafted, music blasted, long lasted, genre contrasted, small but vested. KFAI more than just maxing. We're max maxing. Take that, commercial maxing. Chrome.
Legit.
Non-commercial, community-powered, max with two X's, radio.
Rock, there is none higher. Sucker MCs should call me sire. To vote my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire.
Now we rock dark parties and come correct. All cuts are on time and rhymes connect. Got the right to vote and we'll elect. And other rappers can't stand us, but give us respect. Like Cooper Cool in the game.
From to the rock to the road. DMC stands for devastated mind control. You can't touch me with a 10-foot pole. And I even made the devil sell me his soul.
Now we crash through walls,
come through floors,
bust through ceilings,
knock down doors.
And when we're on the tape,
we're fresh out the box.
You can hear our sound.
Four blocks and blocks.
For every living person,
we're a verbal tree.
It's me and DMC.
Where's the beat?
Now we're the baddest of the bad.
Coolest of the cool, I'm DMC, I rock and roll.
DJ run, I rock and roll. It's not a trick or treat,
and it's not an April Fool.
It's all brand new, never
ever
old school.
All right, Twin Cities, welcome back. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Omar, thank you for helping me curate this week's playlist. We, of course, featuring none other than Run DMC.
In the house.
Russell Simmons, his brother, Reverend Run. Jam Master Jay, who departed, who was murdered, his case has been solved. And, of course, Daryl Mack, make up Run DMC, super crew, part of the label, Def Jam label. That's how the Def Jam label came to be, because of Russell Simmons and his college roommate, a.k.a. Rick Rubin, right? You get Run DMC, LL Cool J, the Beastie Boys, right? And them cast was doing it initially out of their dorm room or college housing. Amazing how the origins of hip-hop, how things evolved, using two turntables and a microphone. But reflecting always on the hip hop. But today we are reflecting on Wonder Fun Academy. Is that right? Wonder Fun Academy and Omar Adams. Are you the dean? Are you kind of like that, right?
I do. You can call me what you want.
Executive director. What is your official title?
So I'm the executive director. Right now I'm teaching also as we build out our student body.
Okay.
And so, if you're looking for a job, we're hiring.
Okay.
If you want to teach or be an assistant, we're definitely looking for people.
Okay. You need to staff up. You have the concept. you know, have everything in place. You said, I think, did you say you have five classrooms as the Bethany?
So I have five renovated classrooms. Came in and wanted to raise it to a certain standard. So took out the carpet, have new tile in the space, and then just did a lot of other capital improvements. I want to make sure the students are comfortable and see themselves within the center, see themselves within our curriculum.
All right.
So, you know, regardless of what you look like and your experiences, you should see yourself within the center and the things we do. Kind of one of our pillars of celebrating the cultures in the center.
Okay.
All right. So meaning, you know, people say, oh, we celebrate all cultures. I would beg to differ because there's thousands, if not more. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you are in a certain group and a holiday is coming up, we'll celebrate. One thing I learned, for example, we did Kids Day.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what Kids Day?
No. Okay, enlighten us.
So Kids Day is actually through a number of countries, but we were doing it to celebrate Mexican culture, and it's a day to celebrate kids. So partnered with another daycare, and he enlightened me on that. He has Mexican ancestry roots, and so we broke a piñata. A couple of my students are from Mexico or have Mexican heritage. We're pretty excited, dressed up, and it was a big deal. So I feel very important for students to see themselves within our center. If I could just real quick story, Kalea here, we read, Emmy's Curly Coily Cotton Candy Hair. Right?
Oh.
No, it's a mouthful. And so the girl was getting her hair done, and Kalea said, "Oh, that's me, Daddy," and she said, "And that's Mommy." And I'm like, well, where's Dad, right? And then at the very end of the book, Dad is there getting a ladybug hairpiece and taking her to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was magical to watch her light up when she saw herself represented in a book. So that's something, you know, I want to make sure I do, being very culturally aware of what people celebrate in the center and making sure that we have something that makes them feel included throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important. I was just sharing with local artists that we saw this weekend, and I was sharing that when I was young, you know, the closest I got was Malibu Barbie, you know, Barbie with a suntan. Like I didn't, that was the closest I had. I was so excited. I was like, oh, she's brown-ish. Yeah. And, you know, that was the closest. And then as I got older was the Fly Girls in Living Color.
Right.
Right. Puerto Ricans. Because I couldn't. They weren't showing natives until, you know, then Pocahontas.
Right.
So it was.
And there's all kinds of issues with that one.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's really important because I had no identity. He was laughing because I said my friend, she was mixed heritage. Her dad was black. Her mom was white. She had curly hair. So I permed my hair because I wanted to identify.
Right.
And we don't realize how often our children do that, but they're looking for identity to claim who they are or to understand who they are. And so it's important what you're saying, the mix of cultures, the socialization that they're getting, mm-hmm. and the communication skills that mm-hmm. they're getting. So what I'm curious about is how do you prepare the parents for the transfer of the learning into their home? Like keeping the conversation going, or like here's the words that they've been working on, or anything like that that they can support what you're doing mm-hmm. with them all day and support them when they get home.
Well, one thing, as you first said that, I was thinking about kind of languages, home language, school language. And I want to just say, make sure the home language, keep your home language. Don't let the school system tell you, you shouldn't speak such and such language at home. They need to be speaking English all the time. No, kids are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And they can adapt and learn just a ton, right? And so make sure you're speaking your native language at home. You know, when they come to Wonderfun Academy, we'll make sure that they learn their English, right? Mm-hmm. And so I lost track of your question. I'm sorry.
That was it. Like, how do you, like, prime the parents,
yeah.
I guess, is, you know?
So filling them in. Each day when the parents come in, I could have a quick conversation. And I always tell them, you know, if I'm talking too much, just let me know, Omar, I have to go, right? Because it's just fun to share what their kids are doing throughout the day, telling about the words we're learning. And I have one parent that said she always knows what teacher Omar's teaching because her daughter comes home and teaches it to everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and as I get get better with my newsletter, you know, that'll kind of go out and talking about, you know, what we're doing. And then some of the worksheets and packets that they bring home has some of that learning in it also.
Mm. It's really well thought out. And as a parent, if I had a young one, what I think about when you're sharing this with is that one-on-one guidance that they're mm-hmm. getting, you know, every student.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not only running the operations right now, but you're working directly with them. And I know that knowing your character, that wouldn't stop regardless if you had a staff of 20.
Right.
You know, just to get to know people as who you are as a person, especially for young ones. So that's really appreciative. And that's a very special opportunity for people. If they want to enroll their 9, it said on your site, 9 months to
2 and 9 months.
2 and 9 months. Why? 2.9.
Right. 2.9. 2 and 9 months. So three months before their third birthday.
Got it.
And why DCYF, Department of Children, Youth, and Families, why they decided to make it 2 and 9 months opposed to 3, I don't know. But if they want to enroll, go to wonderfunacademy.com, and they can go to registration, or call me, 763-200-6228, and set up a tour. I'd be more than happy to give you a tour. People say, how long does a tour take? It depends how many questions you have, right? Mm. So if it needs to be a 10-minute tour, you want to just walk through, okay, yep, this is somewhere my child could fit in. Or if you have a lot of questions, I had a parent the other day came in, and we talked for about an hour and a half. Now, we talked about a lot of other stuff, right?
Right, right.
But, you know, he had a lot of questions and kind of grilled me, and, you know, come on, and, you know, grill me all you want. I've been doing this for 25 years and think I have a pretty good grasp of what our students need and how to prepare them for kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like you wouldn't run a race without practicing. You wouldn't, you know, play in a recital before you practice. And so students need to get used to sitting down, attending to something other than a screen. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with technology and screens. It's just not something we do at Wonder Fun Academy because I feel there's enough of that outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I appreciate that. And I think of what you're doing, and you're preparing their learning habit.
Mm-hmm.
And structured within the context of a learning environment,
mm-hmm.
which is so important because I'm thinking of the students that struggle with that very skill,
mm-hmm.
and how there's many reasons,
mm-hmm.
but from my own experience, it was just the habit of
mm-hmm.
learning.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I create the time? How do I do it? What does it mean? And then the other side of that, and that's the academic, but you also said emotional
mm-hmm.
is another aspect of your mission and vision for the academy. So how do you prepare them for that piece?
So the emotional piece, thank you for the question, right?
Yeah.
And, excuse me, the emotional piece, like we did last week, letting go of frustration. So mm-hmm. talking about what does it feel like when you're being frustrated? What can you do when you start to be frustrated? So counting down from 4, right? Breathing in for 4, exhaling for 4, right? You can hug a pillow. And now we don't have a ton of pillows around, you know, the daycare center, but they can hug themselves because sometimes that pressure is very calming.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can grasp their hands and let go. So tightening up your muscles and then loosening them is a way to just calm your body. Right. And there's times we'll do activities in the classroom. We get kind of hyped up and then we have to sit back down
yeah.
and do some more learning or more focused learning. And then we do some breathing for them to see, oh, yeah, this really does work. You know, you have to do these things when they're in a good place versus when they're frustrated. Right. talking about being kind. Right. Why we're not teasing and doing those sorts of things. How do we say sorry when we make a mistake opposed to, you know, they come to me crying. The other student kind of comes up. Well, did you say sorry? Well, no, but I just, you know, well, let's start with sorry, right? And so really going through giving them replacement strategies for some of those big feelings, because we know 3-5-year-olds have some very large feelings, right? So it's a matter of teaching them how do you address those feelings, how do you name some of those feelings more than just happy and angry, right, or happy and sad, and using books to teach that, like proximity to someone. You know, some students were getting very, very close and making some other students uncomfortable. Got a book, Whoa Panda. Right. And it talked about being too close and what we need to do when someone says, you know, I need space. We had another book that was about hugs. You know, kids like to hug. Right. So I'll take as many hugs as a student wants to give me. But every student doesn't want to be hugged like Teacher Omar wants to be hugged. Mm-hmm. So you can ask. You can say to someone, I don't want a hug right now. And it's acceptable. So I try to tell students on a very regular basis, they don't want a hug and that's okay. They want to play by themselves and that's okay. Right? So really making space for a variety of feelings.
Yeah, there's early in my career, so I'm a facilitator / adult learning teacher in corporate, right? And one of the things that we'd always say is there's two things that will shape who you are as an adult and a young adult when I was working with youth. The things you put in your mind, so the books you read and the environment around you, the people around you, so every workshop had quotes and we had books available for them and we created the positive environment. It sounds very much like you're hitting on those pieces in Wonder Fund Academy. Wonder Fun Academy.
Yes.
Fund? Fun.
Fun. Like F-U-N. F-U-N. Big fun.
Because I did spell it W-U-N-D-E-R.
Oh, okay.
But it's W-O-N-D-E-R-F-U-N.
Yes.
Academy.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Yes. That's right. We got Omar Adams from Wonder Fun Academy with us. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. We're going to take a quick music break and come right back.
They say all good things must come to an end, but at Cafe I, we believe otherwise. Your vehicle, once a source of countless memories and adventures, can continue to create positive change long after its last drive. By donating your car, truck, boat, or RV to Cafe I, you give it a new purpose and support the programming you love. To learn more about how you can extend the contribution of your vehicle's influence, call 855-277-2346 or visit kfai.careasy.org.
Taking us back in time, my Adidas. Man, listen, I had a birthday party, my birthday cake, my Adidas. Had a sheet cake, so I could totally relate for the love of Run DMC, and specifically that song. They put Adidas on the map in a whole different way.
They did.
You know, Adidas, known for soccer and tennis and other things, also known for hip hop, mostly because of Run DMC. Yeah, it was like that, and that's the way it is. If you don't know, now you do. Thank you for taking us back in time, Mr. Adams, and thank you for the work, the wonderful work you're doing with Wonder Fun Academy, and thank you for coming in and sharing a little bit about your vision and your mission. You mentioned that you're in the midst of hiring staff. You're trying to staff up. What is that contact number again? Website number for folks out there may be interested in helping you pursue this mission and continue to help our young people win.
So just go to WonderFunAcademy.com or call 763-200-6228. That forwards right to my cell phone. Again, 763-200-6228. You can text me. And like I said, we're looking for teachers' aides and teachers. We're also looking for students. So if you want to call 763-200-6228 and set up a tour, I'd be happy to give you a tour, and we can take as much time as you need to make sure your child's comfortable. You know, because really it's a trust factor, right? Students have to come to a stranger, if you will, or come somewhere that they don't know, and parents have to have confidence that we'll take good care of them.
But it's important to know your organization, your effort here has met all of the requirements. Registered with DCYF, as you mentioned, and is prepared to kind of bridge the gap in a different way. And again, you left the traditional education environment, that system, and embarked on a slightly different vision to really try to raise up those who are most vulnerable, and that is, you know, during that preschool, most formable period of time that we have, based on Freud, at least, right?
100%. Yeah.
Early education is important. It creates the pillars. I remember when my daughter was young, really trying to expand that vocabulary by encouraging reading. Reading is one way that you can increase your vocabulary exponentially.
As an adult, too.
As an adult as well. So, again, thank you so much for this mission. And also thank you for really targeting. You're right there in the heart of South Minneapolis. I know something about that area. It's where I grew up. Southside Neighborhood Housing Services, housed out of the Sabathany Community Center, was my first job. So I know just by being rooted and located in that that particular building, you are in, you are around the way. I won't say around the way. You are meeting those youth in the most challenging environments that young people sometimes have to grow up, and you're reaching down like that painting, right? That's okay. like you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Oh, right, the brother is reaching down for his colleague, his comrade, and you know, this is the way you're reaching into community and offering a hand,
right?
And your 25 plus years of educational training ability and teaching ability, and now you know, helping those young people bridge that gap.
Well, that was my question too, is how did you make that, what led you? I mean, I've seen you as an entrepreneur selling t-shirts on the side as a hustle, and always with an idea of where you're going to take something next, but as an educator to creating your own education environment, do you have a story or something to share that helped you make that decision?
You know, I do. When my child was going to childcare, you know, it was just a nerve-wracking experience. Mm-hmm. How do we find somewhere where we can trust him? How do we find somewhere where she's going to get, you know, a good academic base? And so it was in a church, and I was like, okay, I could go to a church and give back to a church, right? I'm okay with that. And so I was actually at my church. A friend of mine told me about how Sabathany had some space, and it just grew from there. You know, I asked a colleague at a middle school I was at, and she said she's going to training. So through Think Small, it's an organization right off of 35E, Little Canada kind of area, and got my base training there. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Trinette Potts. She did a lot of work with me on getting all the paperwork done. Because like Jamie said, you know, I'm accredited licensed, if you will, through the state. And so, you know, going through that, right before COVID, I was looking at a place, and thankfully I didn't get it, because I don't know that I'd be here right now if I was having to be out there during the middle of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And so got the space. It was a long process. You know, it's a matter of finding contractors to do the capital improvements I wanted within the space. And, you know, really I was an accountant undergrad. I went to grad school for teaching, and I always had that seed from my dad of, you know, wanting to own your own business, right? And now working 70, 80 plus hours a week, you know, I kind of like, Dad, really? You know, but I'm sure he's smiling down that I'm finally able to, you know, have a business and do that. So it was just a matter of that entrepreneur spirit and wanting the best for our kids, mm-hmm. right? Because some of them, you know, there's a lot of obstacles, and I want to at least remove that educational obstacle for the children and the families. And what I tell the families, once a Wonder Fund Academy child or family, always, right? And so if you have any challenges in the school system, I've been an assistant principal. I've sat in those various meetings. You know, I would be an advocate for any of my families and happily be an advocate, because, you know, spending that much time with children, they grow on you, right?
Yeah.
And some that have moved and left, and my daughter will say to me, you know, you miss so-and-so, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. So.
Your heart's in it. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I can see that. And had it not been for the roots and the foundation, mm-hmm. it sounds like that your parents created, you would not be where you're at today.
Not at all.
And so with that thought in mind is, you know, what do you see for your kids that come through there, like their future? What is your hope and wish?
You know, my thing is to meet those initial standards for kindergarten, if not exceed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the end of kindergarten, it's counting to 31. You know, some of those things, I have some students that can count to around 16 to 20, right? So it's not that much further to go to 31. But making sure they can be leaders in their classroom, be that the child that's willing to help someone that maybe looks different than them. That's why I'm so excited when I have different groups or different mm-hmm. representation of cultures and race and religion within the center, because it's hard to hate somebody you know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to hate somebody you were in class with and learned with and played with, you know. That's what gets me excited when we see that kind of growth. And so now students will say, how do you say that in Spanish? How do you say that in Spanish? How do you say that in Spanish? You know, and so it's really great to have that curiosity. And I don't think it's in a disrespectful manner. It's just kids being curious. So I want my students to have the confidence to go into kindergarten, because half of it is being confident. Right? Giving an answer and being strong when you give an answer. You don't have to, you know, if you're questioning, still be proud and strong of the answer you give. And if you're wrong, so what? We'll fix it and we'll keep going.
Yeah. Healthy learning, healthy preparation for them. And thank you for that work. It's such important work. And I, even though I was a broke single parent living in Frogtown, I took the bus mm-hmm. to Roseville mm-hmm. to drop my daughter off. And the bus back to Midtown or Midway to work at Target, and then take the bus back out there because, you know, I was broke. I didn't have a car, mm-hmm. All those things when you're a single parent and you're young. But I did it because I wanted her to have the foundations that you talked about. And I'm very proud of her today because she works with adults with disabilities.
Okay.
But she went to work every day with her dad, who's a teacher. Every day, and he was a high school teacher. He was a middle school teacher when she started, then he moved to the high school, and so she got to go to high school with her dad, her uncle, and her grandma, and listen to NPR and KFAI and all the other radio stations on the way in, because, you know, you had to educate her mind as they drove to school and drove home. And so she had no choice. You got to wait for dad to be done with school mm-hmm. and mom's at work. So you got to find a club or a way to socialize or get involved. We don't care if it's painting rocks, learning chess, whatever it is, playing sports. And she did, but I'll credit myself too, but I'll credit him. She went to college with me. Mm-hmm. She was always exposed to education. And so it is a very big gift to get. And even though you may not always feel it in the moment, It is a wonderful gift to have. I have a parent who cares so much about education and future of youth to be in your presence. So may you live up to that.
I just have to say that gives me flashbacks. My mom actually taught and was administrator most of her career in South Minneapolis. So there are many a days before school started that I was at the school, but it was I always had fun. Mm-hmm. I always had fun. And you know what, in watching my mom get her doctorate, you know, when I was in middle school, I didn't quite understand then, but I get it now.
Yep, yep, so. Yep.
Hey. Education, they
We're
say,
in a moment.
I think from my involvement with the PTA years ago, they say, seriously, I think the information or the data was really telling. 30% improvement, academic improvement, if your parents are more involved or intimately involved in your educational experience. So applause goes out to you, Omar, and your family of educators. Young lady, you're in good hands. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. We've got a couple more minutes before we got to get up out of here. One more question. I think this is a question that L. Boog asked, and maybe I'll just re-ask it. I don't know if we got to it. And that is, for those younger students that are a little less comfortable, they're more introverted students as opposed to extroverted students, and I'm sure you have the array of student personalities. How, as an educator, do you help those more shy students, the quieter students, share equal space in that academic setting? What are some of your tricks to the trade in that space?
One of the things I think about with wait time. So some of those students that process a little more, mm-hmm. give a little more thought to it. And wait time helps everybody. It helps those students that are quiet. It helps our students who are acquiring English that have to do some translating, listening to the words, trying to figure out what those words mean, and having those make sense. Having a student go encourage other student. I did have a new one start about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, why don't you go ask so-and-so to play? why don't you go over there, see what they need, show them around the classroom, help when there's a problem. And so when you celebrate those things, you know, I give stickers or stamps. I had a student, we did a positive phone call home, right?
Aww.
And he was so excited. And so now what he did that time to get the phone call home, he continually tells me that he did. But, you know, having students go reach out to them and then allowing them to be, right? You don't have to play with someone else. If you want to read a book, I have plenty of students that will sit in our library and read till their heart's content, right? So it's a matter of making space, and what everybody does is okay,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to be quiet, great. Now, if we're yelling in the classroom, Teacher Omar will say, use your inside voice, but we try to make a space for everybody.
As a teacher assistant one time, my many jobs I've had, and I remember I had my Lego kids. I call them my future engineers.
Mm-hmm.
I had my athletes who only wanted to be in the gym. I had my artists who were wanting to either cook, or this was elementary school, mm-hmm. cook or do whatever they could to create and manifest something. But I had my little groups all in their areas that they preferred at that elementary school age. So I'm visualizing exactly what you're saying is allowing them the freedom to pick where they want to go and how, where they feel confident
right.
in that moment. So any last words for us that you want to share on air?
You know, I would just, if you don't send them to Wonder Fun Academy, send them somewhere. Formalized education is important, and it's, they have to build that stamina. You know, how do we sit? How do we attend to something? How do we not play with our hands, play with our shoes? And, you know, and I try to set a high bar for our students and make sure that they're attending to what's important, right? I love working with kids. I would love to have you come in, take a tour, kick the tires, if you will, come to our open house. August 8th or August 15th, 12 to 3, 763-200-6228. And I would be happy to show you around. Also, I know sometimes money can be a barrier, and I didn't bring this up earlier, so I apologize, but the CCAP program, Child Care Assistance Program, if you're struggling with daycare costs, you know, I can help you walk you through that process. I did that with another family. They're now a recipient of the Child Care Assistance Program. Sometimes families pay next to nothing or pay $0, and my highest parent, I think, pays about $50.
Wow. It was very helpful for me when I had that as a single parent. I think my bill ranged from $0 to $200 through mm-hmm. through those years, but that was a big, big help for me. So
right.
that's wonderful that you're offering that
right.
assistance. Thank you.
That's all the questions I have. Again, your website, you mentioned it, Wonder Fun Academy, our man, 50 grand, Omar Adams, the dean, I'll call him executive director of Wonder Fun Academy. And what'd you say? You said it was Wonder Fun Academy or wonderfun.com?
Wonderfunacademy.com.
All one word.
Right. Or just call me.
Or just
right?
give you a call.
Give me a call. Give me a text. 763-200-6228. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. And, you know, it's just education is my passion. You're struggling with something, you know, call me. I have a number of contacts in different districts, different systems, and probably could lead you in the right direction. But it's just a matter of making sure our kids have the tools to do the things they want to do, period.
That's right. Right. Well, thank you, Omar, and your lovely daughter also for coming and sharing time. You have any parting words that you want to say to the audience?
Yeah, Kalea,
thank
go ahead.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That's how we like to bring them up.
That was Russell Simmons right there,
that's
right?
That's what's up.
Well, I was trying to signal over there and ask Kalea. I was going to ask you what your favorite book was.
Speak.
Speak. What's okay. Speak about?
It's about this girl. She went through something, and she can't figure out how to, like, speak out. And throughout the book, she figures out how she can speak out for herself.
I love that concept.
That's right. That's cool. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in
to another episode in Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. We up out of here. We'll see y'all next week on the radio.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, at online kfai.org.